of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The man who served as communications director for the Trump campaign now tapped to fill the same role in the Trump White House. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more on Steve Chung.
He was the communications director on the campaign, obviously a successful campaign. He had been at the White House during Trump's first term as well. But he is a controversial figure largely because he is quick with an insult, sometimes sort of over-the-top insult. Sometimes his language on the campaign trail was so brass that it even caught other Republicans by surprise. There were other Republicans that sometimes said he should tone it down.
Senate lawmakers on both sides of the aisle pushing for the release of the ethics investigation into Matt Gaetz and allegations of sexual misconduct that he denies. Gaetz resigned from the House after President-elect Trump nominated him to be Attorney General. Tropical storm Sarah scraping Honduras after making landfall earlier today. That storm now pushing toward Belize and could lead to much-needed rain for parts of the South and Northeast next week. This is ABC News. Nate Malcolm X. An investigation underway in Las Vegas after a police-involved shooting.
On Tuesday morning, Las Vegas police went racing to a home. The man living inside said people were breaking in and firing shots. He was hiding inside with his 15-year-old daughter. When police made entry, they found the man struggling over a knife with the intruder. Not knowing who they were, an officer opened fire, killing the man who had called for help. Heard in body-worn camera audio.
Hey! Hands off the knife!
Police say the suspect and victim knew each other. The suspect who was not shot is now booked for home invasion and assault with a deadly weapon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Hundreds of hotel workers on strike at a casino near the Las Vegas Strip. Its first open-ended strike in more than two decades for the Culinary Workers Union, which represents 60,000 hospitality workers across Nevada. The walkout comes after a fight for a new contract that started over a year ago. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
I'm at a smoothie bar, asking people if they'd switch smoothies with me for $574.
Oh, I'll switch.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
That's a headache.
Nope, it's painless.
Oh, so it's easy money.
Yep, check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler addressed Wisconsin's attorney shortage during her State of the Judiciary address this week.
The attorney shortage is particularly acute in our rural counties where sometimes they don't even have a single lawyer to take a case. When we cannot provide members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney, access to justice is seriously compromised.
Ziegler says a pool of reserve judges is helping address a backlog of felony cases, which currently stands at about 12,000. A new program through the Wisconsin Hospital Association is hoping to help address the healthcare workforce shortage facing the state. Vice President of Education Leanne Larson says the program connects local schools and hospitals to give students new opportunities. Larson says the initiative, as well as WHA's other initiatives, create a clear path for Wisconsin students from learning about careers to really experiencing them firsthand, so they're better prepared and excited to enter the healthcare field. The WHA and local hospitals contributed $33,000 to schools so they could participate in the program. Governor Tony Evers is inviting students and families in Wisconsin to create ornaments celebrating state parks. Evers announced that the theme for the 2024 State Capitol Holiday Tree will be 125 years of Wisconsin state parks. 2025 will mark the 125th anniversary of the state's park system, and ornaments should reflect that. The ornaments should be mailed to the State Department of Administration's Division of Facilities and Transportation Services no later than November 22nd. The tree lighting ceremony at the Capitol will take place December 5th.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and mild, with high temperatures reaching those low 50s with calm winds. We could see some patchy fog overnight and partial sunshine tomorrow. Feisty winds will push us to the mid-50s. With plenty of sunshine on Sunday, we remain warm. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 54.
And thanks for joining us here for a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Senex, as we continue our coverage from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along with us as we've been having a busy couple of days at the NAFB convention, talking with numerous folks throughout the ag industry about issues that are affecting agriculture and more currently, and what could be affecting in the future, et cetera, et cetera. And we have more great conversations lined up here on the show today. Coming up, we're going to talk with Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association. He'll be with us in segment two. In segment three, Ethan Lane, vice president of government affairs from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, going to join us. I know both Josh and Ethan, going to talk with them about post-election, what do things look like for farm bill prospects and the incoming Trump administration, and much, much more. In segment four, we're going to get an update on the latest meat export numbers. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom going to join us for our monthly conversation with Dan. That's coming up here in segment four of today's AOA. Brought to you by Senex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect your equipment with Senex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Keep your operation moving, because your operation needs to have certainty and a good return on investment. Choose Senex Premium Diesel. Go to your nearest Senex location, talk with your local experts, or go to Senex.com for more. Joining us now to help us kick off the program as we are continuing our coverage again in Kansas City at the NAFB convention, let's talk with our friends at Clean Fuels Alliance America, Donnell Rehagen with Clean Fuels, joining us here on AOA. Donnell, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Jesse. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Welcome to Missouri.
I know, right? Welcome back to Missouri. I feel like I've been coming to this convention 11 years now, I think, something like that. And I know you've been here many years, and you've been a friend of the show for a long time, of course, with Mike Adams and more. So it's good to sit down and catch up with you. A lot of issues to talk about. No shortage of things. Let's start with, I think this could set us up well for a few different things, but obviously we have certainty with the elections now. Trump administration 2.0 coming in here. In terms of biofuels policy and more, what are some things you guys are watching? What's going to be on your radar here over the next several months?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we actually saw a lot of good growth in our industry during the first Trump administration. It wasn't without its challenges, obviously. So we were obviously keeping an eye on the EPA administrator. You know, Representative Zeldin's been nominated for that, and he hasn't always shown himself to be a friend of renewable fuels. But I keep saying, you know, that's 8 or 10 years ago we're talking about now. And so I think there's a lot of differences in the U.S. and the economy and agriculture from what it was like then. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a lot more support for renewable fuels today, and that's one of our jobs. We got to continue to grow support for renewable fuels.
Absolutely. Well, and I've wondered too, and I've talked to a few people about this on the sidelines. I said, could the incoming administration, could that mean any changes, favorable changes, to, say, sustainable aviation fuel? So it's such a hot topic. We're waiting on the 45Z guidance, et cetera. So, I mean, new administration, could they be a little more friendly to this movement? Because I know there's been quite a bit of investment from the oil industry into SAF, et cetera, et cetera. Heard the comments from President Trump, you know, drill, baby, drill, those kinds of things. Right. So, I mean, talk about that aspect with sustainable aviation fuel, you know, on the horizon here as a next great source, you know, for U.S. producers now.
Yeah, I mean, the SAF industry is very intriguing. The airlines, the good news is the airlines are clamoring for more sustainable aviation fuel. So It's not like in the past where we may have been producing fuels the market might have been a little bit concerned about. That this is the exact opposite. So we have friends in the airlines looking for greater SAF production. It's a great thing for agriculture. And so 45Z and how things shake out there, especially from the standpoint of climate smart agriculture, letting U.S. farmers participate in this transition to cleaner airline fuels is going to be really, really important. And so that's our biggest issue right now as an industry, sustainable aviation fuel, biodiesel, and renewable diesel, is without the guidance for 45Z, which becomes the law of the land January 1st, we're already starting to see producers pull back on orders for feedstocks for production of fuels into January. And so that's going to be a bad thing for our industry. It's going to be a bad thing for agriculture. So we really, really need to get that guidance out so everybody knows the rules we're playing by.
And it's, you know, a lot of folks are making those seed decisions right now for next year from a grower perspective. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned some of those plants. I mean, we have a lot of either plants that are idling already or construction projects that were slated to have started already that haven't started because of some of this uncertainty, Donnell.
Yeah, it's you and I have spoken about this for a long time, about just the need for an industry that's still growing to have some level of certainty. Investors don't make decisions lightly when there's a lot of uncertainty. And so we have tax credit uncertainty on a regular basis. And so now we have these other policies that are uncertain. The growth in the RVOs is uncertain. Mm-hmm. And that's not an inviting environment for investors. And so that's what we need to get settled. But it seems like you and I have been having that conversation for a long time.
Unfortunately, we've been having that conversation go round and round. And speaking of a round and round conversation, you mentioned RVOs. You mentioned Lee Zeldin earlier and maybe some of his, you know, his not being friendly to biofuels. We got new RVOs that we're going to have to set coming up here under this new administration. What's the outlook for that?
Yeah, well, so we should already have those RVOs for the biomass-based diesel industry. Those should have been promulgated by the 1st of November, so just a couple weeks ago, and we don't have an idea what that's going to look like. This administration has suggested they'll push a proposal out in March with the hopes of finalizing it by next December. They'll be over a year late by that point in time. And so back to this certainty conversation we just had, I mean, if we're getting RVOs the week or the month before those RVOs start, How is our industry supposed to make those decisions? And that's the reason why these guidelines, these timelines have been put in place from the beginning. So the willingness of the EPA to just ignore that and to suggest that the marketplace will have to figure it out, it's just not a fair response to an industry like ours. And again, another level of uncertainty.
So many things to watch for. I guess final thoughts from you. What would you reiterate to folks listening in here as we're looking to close out the year? We've got so many of these different issues that we're waiting on, et cetera. Looking ahead to the future here, 2025 and beyond. I mean, what do you want folks to keep in mind right now?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, we've talked about all the challenges that we have, but I'm just so excited about the future of this industry. And I look back 30 years now to where the soybean farmers of the United States gave us an assignment to make and create a new product that adds value to soybean oil, and to think now that we're a 5 billion gallon a year industry, it's almost unimaginable. And so with that, I mean, I'm going to start 2025 being extremely excited about the opportunities in front of us and grateful to the nation's soybean farmers for what they started.
Well, I know folks can find more cleanfuels.org as well. They can get signed up. You guys got a conference January, I believe.
We do. Third week of January in San Diego. Come see us in the warm climate of San Diego.
Might have to do that. That sounds very enticing. Cleanfuels.org for more. Donnell Rehagen, always good to talk with you, sir. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Jesse.
All right, up next on AOA, powered by Cenex, we'll talk with Josh Gackle from the American Soybean Association right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button, or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-99.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts. Go to your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more information. And joining us now here at the NAFB convention in Kansas City as we continue our coverage, we're joined now by the president of the American Soybean Association, Josh Gackle from North Dakota. Josh, how are you?
Good to see you again. It's good to be back here. It's my second year at NAFB. Always good to be here talking with and visiting with the ag media outlets and getting the message out there about what we're doing as farm organizations.
Absolutely. Well, no shortage of things to talk about now. Let's start with an easy one. How was harvest?
An easy one?
Yeah, how was harvest in North Dakota for
you? It was,
you?
It's good to be done. We wrapped up last week with our corn harvest. Overall, things were pretty decent. Beans maybe a little, soybeans is a little disappointing on the yield side. Corn was a pretty nice crop. We grow a little bit of barley too on our farm, and that was pretty decent. So overall, a good year, but when it comes to yield, we need a really good year, with the way prices are right now and just trying to keep things profitable on the farm. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we're wrapping up harvest, we have, other things to talk about that impact agriculture. And of course, there was this thing called an election at the beginning of the month. We know that President Trump is returning to the White House. We're starting to fill out his cabinet, and it feels like it's rolling commentary on different cabinet members and more. And, you know, by the time this segment airs, we might know who the Secretary of Agriculture is, for instance. We don't know that yet. But in terms of Trump administration 2.0, what are your thoughts? What is ASA's thoughts coming into this? As I know there's been a lot of talk of tariffs. We got to get a farm bill done. The list is long. What's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to take some time, you know, as you mentioned, to put people in place and have some of the leaders in those cabinet positions named. We were visiting a little bit before we got on the air here about just the list of, or the number of people that are on that potential list of Secretary of Agriculture. In the previous Trump administration, Secretary Perdue, it was a pretty strong advocate for farmers. I think he, had a strong voice with the president. We saw a few things out of the administration, of course, focused on, you know, the main thing being the tariff issue and trade tension with China, which, really affected the soybean market and soybean producers. So hopefully, you know, we can get that message, out again that caused some long-term damage to soybean producers in the U.S. It gave a competitive advantage to some of our other competitors like Brazil and Argentina and South America in general. China and other countries looking to maybe more stable and reliable markets due to that. So just trying to stress the importance again of markets, foreign markets, finding new markets and building or maintaining those relationships with the markets that we have.
I know ASA and NCGA just commissioned a study here not too long ago before the election looking at the potential impacts of a trade war and tariffs and more. And I know that is a big concern for U.S. ag, as President Trump has talked about tariffs quite frequently in terms of what that, you know, what it could mean for his economic trade policy.
Yeah, and I think it's even, what you hear coming out of the Trump administration and out of the upcoming president, the 2018 trade war was hard enough, and it seems like the talk is even more severe this time around. Mm-hmm. So some of those impact, and it's not just, you know, that study that you referenced shows some immediate effects when it comes to the price under different scenarios, anywhere from 60 cents a bushel to closer to $2 a bushel, depending on the level of tariffs and potential retaliation from China. Especially in this farm economy, prices are already in a downturn. Profitability on the farm is struggling, and it's not just for farmers in general. It's a rural America issue. So a strong rural America really depends on farmers being able to make a living on their farm and invest in their communities, invest in their farms. So it's not, you know, it's not just me as a farmer, but it's the small communities that we come from as well, where some of these policies that could be implemented would have a pretty hard impact in farm country.
Let's talk farm bill. Obviously, we don't have a new one of those. The prospects of getting one in the lame duck of Congress here with, you know, defense authorization, appropriations, everything else has got to happen. It seems unlikely, which, of course, is not good news when we know that farmers and ranchers across this country want to see a new farm bill. And so now
You think about lame duck, doesn't happen. We get into a new Congress. We might have many new members to, you know, join in on the ag committees, et cetera, et cetera. And we might be, you know, not starting over, but it could take longer. So, I mean, Farm Bill, where do we stand? What's your thoughts there?
Well, so we've been encouraged over the past several weeks where, you know, G.T. Thompson, the chair of the House Ag Committee, he put forth a marked up a bill, you know, several months ago, that included a number of the priorities that not just American Soybean Association, but other commodity groups have been advocating for when it comes to the safety net, crop insurance, and update to reference prices, certain things that make that safety net stronger and would kick in these times of down markets. And then on the other side, there's been discussion in D.C. on an ad hoc type of disaster type bill that would provide some financial relief to farm country. So hopefully that's something, too, that could move through in some type of legislation and some type of tax extender bill or some type of end-of-the-year bill. I think you're right, a farm bill, you know, now especially with change in the Senate, so you're going to have new Senate chairs. Well, Senator Bozeman in the Senate side will be the chair of the Senate committee. So I don't know how that affects the negotiation now between the House and Senate. We really only have one bill that we've seen that's what's come out of the House. But there is time, and what we're encouraging members to do when they get back to D.C. here for the lame duck session is calendar-wise and time-wise, you can still get a farm bill done this year. So we're constantly engaged. The staff that we have in D.C. Is constantly talking to the committees, the members of the committees and the staff, of course, who are helping to put that legislation together. So it's continuing. The end of the year is coming quickly. So yeah.
Association with us here today on the show as we're at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. Endangered Species Act issues. Let's talk about those a little bit. I know that's something that ASA has been watching closely. What's some of the latest there?
So what we've seen from that, and we've expressed a fair amount of frustration with what's come out of EPA in this initial round of insecticide and herbicide strategies that they put forth for Endangered Species Act compliance. What we've always said is we understand under the law, EPA has to comply. They're getting sued on the other side as well. So certainly something, you know, they need to move forward with something. But we've really expressed to them that providing some flexibility when it comes to implementation on the farm, some of the things that we've seen in the early draft when it comes to the insecticide and the herbicide strategies are just simply unworkable at the farm level. Certain things that they would require, application timings, buffer, some of those things. And the list of species that could fall into that are just so wide-ranging that it really makes, you know, especially in a time of difficult profit margins on the farm, anything that makes it more expensive or adds time, that's what we've been stressing with EPA is we need to make it workable. We want to help. We want to be part of the solution, but it needs to be something that farmers can actually implement.
45Z2, I know we're coming up at the beginning of the year. Still don't have that guidance. There's been a lot of issue in terms of the climate smart practices and the bundling and all of this. And that's something I know you've expressed. Your farm in North Dakota is completely different than someone's farm in
Absolutely.
Central Illinois. But then throw in here, we're changing administrations. Could that change anything on the whole SAF front? I mean, your thoughts there.
We would, you know, we'd certainly like to see some guidance and some further definition around 45Z. We were hoping that that would have happened already. Farmers are, you know, we're making plans already for 2025.
Yeah.
Those plans that we've started thinking about our operation and the crops we're going to grow and the rotation on what we're going to be using and how we're going to be implementing those things on our farms, you know, well in advance. We're past that point already. So not having that guidance or further definition has been a little, frustrating. So maybe with a change in administration, who knows which way that'll go. I think the impetus of 45Z and, you know, the intent of it is to, you know, bring demand back to the U.S. farmer and for the mm-hmm. soybean and other crops that we're growing. So we want to see those programs continue, but we need to see some further definition and get some clarity.
Absolutely. So wrap it up. Anything final? We've covered a lot. Anything final you'd mention to reiterate to folks today?
I think it's just, you know, stay engaged. Events like this where farmers can come in here and it's, you know, there are a number of farmers in the room, a number of different commodity organizations, other folks in the ag value chain that are here, just getting the message out and letting people know how important some of these policy issues are that we're working on in DC, and not just our groups, but again, it's more than just simply on the farm level or on my operation back home, but it's, you know, what we're advocating for is for a strong rural America and strong farm country.
Making your voice heard does Correct. Count. It does matter. Appreciate the time. Josh Gackle, president of the American Soybean Association. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Jason.
And I'm sure we'll talk again real soon. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Once again, Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association, joining us here at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. Brought to you by Cinex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Get the right product for your equipment on your operation. Go to your nearest store or visit Cinex.com for more. Up next, we'll talk with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association here on AOA.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets from the NAFB convention in Kansas City. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update. December milk up 21 to 1865, January up 29 to 1894, February up 16 to 1901, March milk up 17 at 1909. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets rebounding nicely today. Some strength in some of that cash markets late week, and the higher box beef prices helping to support the market. Hogs are also higher, at least in the nearbys, but lower in deferred contracts. A little bear spread trade happening in the hogs today. December live cattle up 37 cents to 183.32. November feeder cattle up 295 to 250.57. December hogs up 35 cents to 80.45. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly higher. Corn markets continue to move higher with the spreads firming as the trade bounces off the support levels. Soybeans moving mostly higher as well. Products are helping to support the soybean markets today. Wheat markets are also finding footing as the dollar gains begin to slow. There's also some short covering as well ahead of the weekend, and that's supporting the wheat market. December corn up 3.25 to 422 and a quarter. New crop 25 up 2.75 to 440. January beans up 13.5 to 1001. New crop 25 up 7.75 to 1021 and a quarter. December wheat up 6.75 to 537. From Kansas City, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues live from the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri, brought to you by Cenex. Invest in a premium tractor hydraulic fluid because bargain tractor hydraulic fluids are not worth the gamble. You could find a premium fluid at your nearest Cenex location. Go to your Cenex store nearby or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, as we continue here on the show today, been a lot of talk here at the NAFB convention about farm bill post-election. What are things looking like in Washington, D.C.? Joining us now for a conversation about that and more, National Kennelers Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane. Ethan, it is good to see you. How are you?
Good to be with you, Jesse. I'm doing well.
I was going to say, are you surviving the last couple of weeks in D.C. since the election?
Yeah. You know, I was telling you before we started, it feels like you woke up and realized you have to run a marathon today and you forgot to train for it. I mean, all the lead up to the campaign, all of the, you know, the watching and the engagement we do on candidates and different things. And then you get to election day and you have a decision like we saw last week that was as definitive as it was. And boy, things move really rapidly out that other side, and we're off and running, looking at nominees and talking transition documents, and it's a well and truly underway, I think, for a lot of us in agriculture.
Well, and let's talk about the incoming Trump administration first. And I was just checking to make sure I didn't have a bulletin headline on my cell phone that we have a Secretary of Ag pick. We don't have that yet, to my knowledge, but a long list of potential candidates. Mm-hmm. We do know who's going to be at EPA, though, with Lee Zeldin. Obviously, many other administrative cabinet posts have been picked, et cetera, et cetera. I guess 1,000-foot view this here. What are NCBA's feelings looking ahead? How quickly some of this is moving and what this administration is shaping up to look like? Is it going to be friendly to agriculture and to the cattle industry?
Yeah, I think that it is. Look, these are folks that we've worked with before, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what an unusual set of circumstances that we have a new administration coming in that was basically the administration 4 years ago, right? And certainly some new faces in that mix, but we had four successful years working with Donald Trump in agriculture. He is a champion for farmers and ranchers. And I don't see any reason to think that that would be any different this time around. And you know, the folks that we're seeing populate these roles, the names that we've seen roll out over the last couple of days are people that we've worked with by and large for years, that we have great histories with, and that similarly are fans and champions of American agriculture and the U.S. cattle and beef industry. So yeah, this is I think really good news for producers across the country. Obviously, I think there's always some consternation, you know, in a transition. What's going to change? What did we get comfortable with that's going away? There's an added wrinkle, I think, this time with some of these new faces, you know, RFK Jr. being in the mix, mm-hmm. On food and health is something that I think everyone who actually grows food in this country is watching very intently. This is not a guy who's been particularly complimentary of how farmers and ranchers around the country do their job. And you know, I think we have to understand that he's there because this coalition that elected Donald Trump, that swept, you know, the Senate into Republican hands, that reaffirmed the House majority, and did so by the first majority of voters around the country for the president as a Republican in 20 years, at mm-hmm. least, came with it some new folks to that tent that we haven't traditionally seen in Republican, you know, voter bases. So we've got to account for that. These are folks that, you know, maybe are inclined to believe things that they've seen on the internet about where their food comes from. They're people who are inclined to distrust science. You know, the RFK crowd is a little bit skeptical of you know, peer-reviewed science and things like that. They kind of find their own research and they do their own things and they reach their own conclusions. We don't get to dismiss that. They were part of the coalition that elected the president. And as you know, American agriculture, we produce the highest quality, safest products in the world, and we do so from a really scientifically sound spot. And it's time to saddle up and make that case and highlight that and tell the really good story we have to tell.
There's been a lot of talk of tariffs with this incoming Trump 2.0 administration, and we saw tariffs, of course, back in the first go-around, and there's been talk of more being added. Are you concerned about tariffs impacting, you know, specifically meat exports, et cetera, things like that?
Oh, without question. I mean, you know, we've had 4 years of just nothing on trade, right? Disappointing, to say the least. But I said this earlier today in a panel here. You know, the U.S. cattle and beef industry, I had a good experience with Donald Trump in the first term on trade. He has a high degree of credibility with cattle producers in the U.S. doing what he said he was going to do, right? Whether it was, withdrawing from TPP was controversial at the time. That was market access that was really important to us. He went out and secured a bilateral agreement with Japan that has been a good deal for cattle producers. He secured access for U.S. beef into China that we did not have before. Obviously, there's some challenges with phase one, but we'll see what happens with that moving into this new environment. But I mean, he did the things he said he was going to do for cattle producers, and you know, Bob Lighthizer and Greg Dow deserve a tremendous amount of credit for that. So I think we have to go into this with the idea that that's still where he is. He's looking to get the best deal he can for farmers and ranchers. But yeah, the tariff thing is definitely concerning. It's something that it's a tactic that we're not comfortable with. It raises concerns that we're going to be locked out of some of those other markets. I mean, the reality of that balance is we raise the best beef in the world here, and I'm a shill for the industry, obviously. So, but it's also not wrong, right? I mean, what we produce in any market we go on into anywhere in the world becomes the dominant force immediately, mm-hmm. because nothing tastes like U.S. beef. So, put us in the game, and we will expand that footprint, and we will dominate. So that's what we're looking for: is open those markets for us and give us new places to get our products.
You mentioned Robert Lighthizer and Greg Dowd. I know those are two names. Lighthizer may be back as U.S. trade rep, and Greg Dowd's name's been floated in the mix for Secretary of Ag. So, you know, again, to the point earlier of some of the familiar faces, I think we could be seeing more of those here in this new administration. We're talking with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I want to talk farm bill, but also just governing in general. We've seen the Republicans have taken the Senate. It seems like all indications Republicans are going to have the House, so you're going to have Republican control on Capitol Hill. John Thune of South Dakota just elected as the incoming Senate Majority Leader. He was the whip, and so it seems like a natural kind of progression here. Talk about just from a governing standpoint, getting things done. I know there's been some frustration in this past Congress, just the amount of, you know, days working and very few days working in some instances. And I know that's, you know, I don't want to slight the committees behind the scenes doing a lot of work, but just the fact that, you know, we should have had a farm bill done by now and we don't have it done because of just haven't been working.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, I think they've done the work. I think it has been, and we've talked about this before, a really tough environment. The math has been tough for Mike Johnson as Speaker. That Freedom Caucus element has really had sort of a disproportionate amount of power because of that thin margin. And that has made it very difficult to move things forward that otherwise would be sort of no-brainers, right, to move forward. The farm bill that G.T. Thompson and the House Ag Committee put together that they voted out of committee earlier this year by a bipartisan margin, by the way, right, with four Democrats voting in favor of that bill, is by I think all accounts a really good bill. It's a bill that agriculture is happy with, and you know, I think that it's been an environment where, in spite of that math has been hard to solve. But I am encouraged by the fact that we've seen the Senate go to Republicans, we've seen the House stay in Republican hands, Donald Trump is going back to the White House, and that creates maybe a lame duck opportunity where, you know, what was a horrible bill that's going to, you know, destroy nutrition programs in the eyes of some Democrats, I think, on Capitol Hill, maybe now doesn't look like nearly as bad a deal as it did a few weeks ago, because I think the prospects for what that conversation could look like in a new Congress are probably far worse than, you know, taking another look at what is, I think, if you're being honest with yourselves, a pretty darn good bill on the nutrition stuff. And so I'm hopeful that sober look is going to take place, and that there's some discussions about how to maybe clear the decks and get this thing put together to bed, notch a win for American agriculture, notch a win, a well-earned win for G.T. Thompson, and get this bill put to bed. So certainly we'll be advocating for that. I know others will be as well.
Well, and that's a great point, and that could be a good spot for us to close here. Not a lot of time to get a lame duck farm bill done here. I mean, we got appropriations we got to deal with, defense, a lot of things in basically 2 weeks. But to that end, trying to get something done with Debbie Stabenow set to retire. Does she want to get something done before she's out of office? You know, to the point of, you know, would Republicans rather wait until January with control, things like that? So, I mean, you know, I guess a lot of talk I've heard is that the prospects are slim, but there's still a chance of a lame duck farm bill.
I think they've always been slim. My view is that the odds have increased a little bit post-election.
Okay.
You know, I think Senator Klobuchar has indicated she's not terribly interested in doing a farm bill next year. She'd like to get it done now. You know, I think there's an opportunity. I think that, you know, if people can roll their sleeves up and really pay attention to what's before us right now, and you know, look, they've got a full agenda going into the next Congress. We've got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expiring. That's high on everybody's agenda. They're going to need to start taking that up very quickly after the new Congress takes their seats. There just isn't time to go back into a farm bill conversation if we can get something done with it now.
Lock them in a room with some steaks and potatoes and right. Say, hey, let's hash this out and let's get it done.
Yep.
That seems like a good way to do it, in my opinion.
It's never failed me once. I mean, it works every time.
We'll stay up to date on the issues, of course, and I know folks can go to the NCBA website as well, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again real soon as we get more developments as this all unfolds and changes, but appreciate a few minutes of time here in Kansas City. Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Always good to chat.
Good to see you.
Once again, Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Coming up next, we'll talk with Dan Hallstrom from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Back with more on AOA right after this.
On Friday, November 15th, Netflix and MVP, Most Valuable Promotions, brings you the highly anticipated heavyweight boxing mega event of the year. Jake El Gallo Paul will go toe-to-toe in the ring against Iron Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. This is the fight the world's been waiting for. Don't miss these epic showdowns live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Watch Paul versus Tyson live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only on Netflix.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
This holiday at T-Mobile, I'm joined by a special co-anchor.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop, let's talk about T-Mobile.
Okay, cool.
This holiday, get 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence and the all-new camera control on us.
Let's get cracking, like a breakfast egg.
You can use those eggs to make some eggnog, Snoop.
Respect.
And people do love T-Mobile, where you can save on every plan versus the other big guys.
You know, y'all could take some of those savings and buy some Snoop merchandise.
Always a great stocking stuffer, Snoop.
We up out of here.
Hold your horses, Snoop D-O-double-G. Let's remind people one more time.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get 4 iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence on us. Plus 4 lines for $25. Now drop that, Jacob.
With 24 monthly bill credits for eligible trade-ins and 4 new lines with autopay. Well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees and $35 per line connection charge. Cancel entire account before receiving 24 bill credits and credit stop and balance on required finance agreements due. $829.99 credits end if you pay off device early. See how you can save on wireless and streaming versus the other big guys at T-Mobile.com/switch. Apple Intelligence available now.
Drug disposal.
On the November episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we talked with NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson, recapping the recent study commissioned by NCGA and the American Soybean Association looking at the potential impacts of a tariff-induced trade war for U.S. corn and soybeans.
just to back up in how this study came about, while today we do know who the president-elect is, when we did this study, we did not. And there was growing interest in tariffs from both sides of the aisle, which is what led us to dig into this a little bit. Of course, tariffs are an important policy tool to President Trump. And so, especially now knowing that he is the next president, and I think this topic becomes even more important. Another point on why this came about is that U.S. corn and soybeans are prime targets for the type of retaliation that we're talking about, because our trade relationship with China is important, but also agriculture is such an important industry to the U.S.
Tune in the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the monthly grind and learn more at ncga.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at Cenex. Visit your nearest location or go to Cenex.com for more. Joining us now here at the NAFB convention in Kansas City, we talk to him regularly. It's nice to see him in person. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. Dan, how are you? It's good to see you.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. Let's start with the September meat export numbers. I know those just came out here a little over a week ago. And looking through things, looks like pork is on pace for an annual record. Let's start there.
Yeah, pork is continuing the trends from earlier in the year. Broad-based growth. Of course, you've got Mexico leading the way. But there's a couple other stories, though, in September that we should hit on. Mexico had a solid month, but you had a really good month with Japan on the pork side. And you had some of these smaller regions, Central America, Colombia and South America, the ASEAN-Oceania region in particular, Australia on boneless ham. So really, it just reemphasizes those trends we saw earlier in the year with broad-based growth from a lot of different regions. And it's translating into record performance for the year.
What about on the beef side? I know it's been an interesting year on the beef side. Any changes for the September month numbers?
Yeah, beef had a large month, up, if I believe, 5-6% year on year. And we continue to see this trend on beef where it's overachieving where we thought we would be a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we're going to end up a year really close to the same volume probably as a year ago. And value is going to be up 5 or 6%. So on the beef side, we're looking at the second largest largest export year ever, which a year ago we were not estimating that. So, yeah, this is some good news here. Also led by several key markets, Mexico in particular on beef is doing well. And then, of course, you have a little bit of a rebound going on in Asia as well on the food service side.
And that's something we've been talking about for several months now, you and I have here on the show, is that, and I know you've been over in Asia quite a bit this year, a lot of work there as food service is rebounding finally here post-COVID. That's been the big thing.
That's exactly right. And we still have some weakness economically in Asia, especially with China. But we're starting to see the tourism boom in Japan. Japan's already reestablished their record pace. And Korea, not quite a record, but close. We think by the end of the year, they will be back to record pace on tourism. So this is helping certain segments of the food service business rebound, which we really needed.
On the lamb side, I noticed September lamb exports lowest of 2024. Are we starting to develop a trend there? What's going on with lamb?
No, I think lamb's a little, because the volumes are smaller, you know, month to month, it's a little bit over or understated. I see some really good things going on with lamb, especially in Mexico. We've seen several new, especially in the shoulder area, lamb shoulders, breast meat, even some lamb loin business down there. So, yeah, I think there's good things going on lamb and in Mexico and in Caribbean as well.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, let's think about looking ahead here. We're obviously near the end of 2024, looking ahead to 2025. What are some of your thoughts here, just broadly to start, looking at what meat exports could be looking like here as we get into a new year ahead?
Yeah, I think on the pork side, we're optimistic. I think we're going to be a new record value and volume this year, and there's no reason to think it won't be the same thing next year if trend lines continue. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good good trends out there, whether it's Latin America or Asia. So, yeah, I think pork is in good shape. A little bit will depend on the level of production, but it'll be a new record. On the beef side, it's a little more mixed, as you can imagine, because one question is, when will we see more significant herd rebuild with the retention of heifers? But even with that, we're estimating on the beef side, we could be down a little bit on volume, but we think value is going to be pretty steady. So still a very big year on beef exports, you know, led by the markets I mentioned, Latin America, as well as, I hope, a more significant rebound in Japan and Korea.
What about opportunities for maybe some new markets or markets you guys have been working on? And I will add a part two to that question. I know there's been a lot of talk about potential new tariffs with the incoming Trump administration. What could that mean for export business for the meat sector? Your thoughts there, Dan?
Well, yeah, let's start with the new areas. You know, you look at Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, they stand out as really untapped areas of opportunity. You've got markets like the Philippines as well that on pork especially had a very high supplyability from EU, and maybe we should get more of that share as well. And then you look at places like Colombia and Chile, further expansion there. I think that will continue. So there's a lot of opportunity. About the tariff question, I look at what happened in the first Trump administration. There was a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. You had the USMCA renegotiation, the NAFTA 2.0 that now became USMCA. That was the Trump administration's deal. Japan-U.S. Ag Agreement. We had very ridiculously unfavorable tariffs that were normalized. And we had the China Phase 1 deal, which resulted in us going from $200 or $300 million a year for beef exports to over $2 billion. Very significant. Yeah. So I got to think, since they own these agreements, I got to think, I'm not saying it won't be choppy. The waters will be choppy.
Sure.
But I think in the end, support of export markets, especially the USMCA, I think that will prevail, because we have a USMCA. That's part of the reason the framework is there. If you have a disagreement about an issue, i.e., corn.
Exactly.
This provides you a mechanism in which to work it out.
Absolutely. Final thoughts before we wrap it up here. Anything you want to reiterate to producers this month?
You know, I just think that one of the things that we're really focused on is in these markets to help tell our story is getting more producer involvement. We take groups over periodically, and we're going to continue to do that because the markets are really hungry. You can't bring everyone to the U.S. to see it, so mm-hmm. taking producers over to see these larger groups is very effective, and we'll continue to do that because there's no better way to tell our story than to have U.S. producers involved.
Absolutely. Folks can learn more. Go online, usmef.org, for more. Dan Hallstrom, U.S. Meat Export Federation. Good to see you, Dan. I'm sure we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Jesse.
And that's going to do it for AOA today, brought to you by Cenex. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. A dog? I'm not. I was born for a purpose. To bring you hope. To guide you out of darkness.
Shop Dell Technologies' Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.